This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. A short drive away from the Crane in San Francisco's Bayview District, you'll find a neighbor-led volunteer group that's been bringing greenery and camaraderie to traffic islands and empty lots in the neighborhood for over a decade. It's the Quesada Gardens Initiative. Over the weekend, we heard of the passing of one of the group's co-founders, Jeffrey Betcher. He was a tireless community advocate who was executive director for many years, and his house on Quesada Street was the center of many of the project's activities. Back in 2013, KALW's Jen Chien made a piece about Quesada Gardens as part of our Sights and Sounds of Bayview project. Let's take a listen.
Look at that. Ooh-wee, that's pretty.
Like many people who see a pretty rose in bloom, Annette Smith likes to take in the sight and scent of it. But her enjoyment of this particular rose bush in this particular garden comes with a deeper meaning.
That was one that Chris Montgomery gave us.
Annette knows the stories behind most of the plants growing in the Quesada Gardens project, which is on the median strip of Quesada Avenue off of busy 3rd Street and the Bayview. The mostly single-family houses on either side of the street face lush greenery, flowers, and even some fruits and vegetables. But Annette remembers what it was like before it was a garden.
Oh, yes, it was a lot of dead grass, weeds. It had all kinds of debris.
Annette moved onto this block in the late 90s. Her brother, who was already there, told her about an apartment opening near him. Back then, the median strip was bare, except for garbage. The block was also at that time a hub for a bustling drug trade, with the violence, prostitution, and despair that often goes along with it.
Anytime day or night, you see somebody walking along like zombies because they were so out of it.
Annette says that toxic atmosphere left a lot of people afraid to come outside. That's how things were when Jeffrey Betcher moved onto the street, a little after Annette did. Although some of Jeffrey's friends were worried for him, a gay white man moving into historically black Bayview, he says his race and sexual orientation were never an issue. His problem was the same one Annette described.
People were living in isolation. They were fearful. I was. We all were.
Jeffrey moved in next door to Annette's brother, Woody, and that's how the two met. They hit it off from the start. One day in early 2002, Jeffrey came home from work to find that something was different about the median in front of his house. Woody Smith had dug up a patch of grass, looking for worms to use as fishing bait, and Annette had felt bad about the mess he'd made. So she and another neighbor, Carl Page, decided to take advantage of the turned earth and planted some collard greens, and then some flowers.
I felt that the flower would look better than the dirt out there that he had dug up.
Soon, Annette and Carl were gardening every day, and the median started to look a little brighter. Jeffrey says it wasn't long before other neighbors started coming outside to ask about what was happening, and then they started to pitch in. Some had experience with gardening and dug right in. Others hung out and gave moral support through conversation or just a thumbs up as they drove past. People on the block were seeing something they hadn't seen before, right outside their front doors.
And these smiling faces and people not afraid to give people hugs and shake hands, and that changed the world very quickly.
So Annette and Carl gardened in little plots along the median for about a year, helped along by Jeffrey and others, all on an ad hoc basis. Then, in 2003, a meeting took place on Quesada Avenue. A group of about 30 residents got together in one neighbor's backyard to talk about what was going on the block. Jeffrey says he thought for sure that drug dealing was going to be everyone's top issue. But some people thought that rats were a more pressing problem, or the recent surge in mosquitoes.
The one thing that we could agree on was that there was already beauty and strength here in this community, and Carl and Annette were showing us that in the garden.
They chose the name Quesada Gardens Initiative at that first meeting. Well, actually, they chose the name Quesada Gardens Initiative. Although it's a Spanish street name, historically there weren't a lot of Spanish speakers in the neighborhood, so some of the locals pronounce it differently. Neighbors started bringing plants from their own backyards to the garden, and there were donations from nurseries.
A whole lot of different plants, flowers, shrubbery.
Jeffrey had experience in nonprofit administration, so he started doing things like working on the organization's tax status and getting the attention of media and funders. There was some initial resistance from city officials who seemed wary of unsanctioned items being placed on city land, but they soon came around when they saw the value the gardens brought to the block.
They didn't have to send anybody out there to cut the grass or anything because we were doing all the work.
And the beautification of the physical space helped to fill in something that had been missing from the block before.
And for me, it was knowing my neighbors, busting through that isolation.
The effects of the garden also spread to other parts of the neighborhood. Joel and Mary McClure live a short distance up the hill from the Quesada Gardens on Bridgeview Street. They have a great view from their house, but right outside their living room window was an empty lot owned by the city. Here's Mary.
People would use it as a trash dump.
From their outdoor deck, the McClures could see the swaying palms and blooming flowers of the Quesada Gardens.
So you would see all this beauty on this side, and then we would go to the other side of our house, and you would just see this horrible weed-infested lot. And then finally we just said, that's it, we gotta do something, and it's gonna be us.
The McClures were able to secure permission, assistance, and a water source from the city, but Joel says he was mostly inspired by the do-it-yourself attitude of the Quesada Gardens neighbors.
Can't also always keep asking the government to do things for us, specifically when it's right there in our backyard.
So the McClures, their neighbors, and some dedicated student volunteers got to work turning the trash-filled lot into a terraced garden, much of it producing fruits and vegetables for the neighbors. Mary and Joel say they enjoy the gardening, but what they get out of it is something bigger.
Quite honestly, up until about 2003, we didn't really know any of our neighbors, and we'd been in our house for like 3 years.
One of the neighbors Mary met was 10-year-old Serenity Williams, who lives across the street on Bridgeview.
I was at home, I looked out the window, and I saw people working in the garden, and I asked my mom, can I help? And then Mary said yes.
Serenity started gardening every week. Her favorite task is watering the plants. Jeffrey Betcher says he feels a real sense of safety on his block now and that he can't imagine living anywhere else.
People respond differently to everything when they're on a block where they have a sense that people know one another, people are looking out for each other.
At this point, the Quesada Gardens Initiative projects include 2 murals, 6 community gardens throughout the neighborhood, and Bayview Footprints, a weekly newsletter that highlights good news in the neighborhood.
We're trying to do good things and trying to pass it on to the next block so they can do good things for them to pass it on.
And though about half the homes on that first block of Quesada have changed residence since Annette and Carl planted those first collard greens, the spirit of neighborliness and safety they helped to foster has continued to grow and bloom. In Bayview Hunters Point, I'm Jen Sheehan for Cross Currents.